You've got your Bibles with you. I want to look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to be looking at verses 34 to 40 of Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. Please hear this public reading of God's word. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So my guess is that most of us in this room, we have this commandment, this great and first commandment. I'm sure we have this memorized. We know this well, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Jesus adds in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. We know this commandment in our minds. But what does it mean to obey this first and great commandment? Well, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength means to love Him with all of my being, with everything that I have. An article that I read this week says it like this: there needs to be an authentic love for God that starts with God-oriented affections, desires, and thoughts. And this love for God should permeate our speaking and behavior. This love for God should influence the way we spend our money and how we dress and how we drive and what forms of entertainment we choose. So whether we're eating or singing, jogging or texting or drawing, love for the one true triune God is to be in action and seen. Jerry Bridges, who was studying this passage of Scripture, and he was trying to figure out what it meant to love God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He began to study Matthew 22, and that led him to study Deuteronomy chapter 6, because Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. So he began to study these two passages of Scripture. And what Jerry Bridges began to see was that obedience to God is a major part of loving Him, and that our love to God will always manifest itself in obedience to Him. So Bridges saw the intensity and wholeheartedness with which we should obey God, because obedience to God is a major part of our love to God. We are to put everything we have into obedience to God. But then he began to examine his own life on this topic, and he began to see that he was falling into what he calls cruise control obedience. And then he began to survey sort of Christians around him, and he realized that many Christians were falling into cruise control obedience. What does he mean by cruise control obedience? Well, cruise control is a great feature on cars. You accelerate up to the desired speed, you press the cruise control button, and you can sort of sit back. You can ease back and relax a little bit. It doesn't require this constant foot pressure on the accelerator. You don't have to focus in on the speedometer. The car is sort of going at that desired speed, so you can sit back and ease back. It's a great feature on cars. However, Jerry Bridges says, we tend to obey God in the same way. We sort of press the accelerator button on our obedience. We get up to the desired speed we want to go, and we ease off, and we started to cruise and relax a little bit. Think about Bible reading, for example. We want to read the Bible, so we begin to, I'm going to read the Bible 10 minutes every day, and we begin to read the Bible 10 minutes a day, and we accelerate up to that level, and then we just ease back, and we're content with 10 minutes. Rather than keep going, rather than studying it in greater depth, rather than meditating it on it throughout the day, we sort of ease back and relax. So Jerry Bridges compares cruise control obedience with what he calls race car obedience. Think about a race car driver. He says they are totally focused on their driving. Their foot is always on the accelerator. They wouldn't dream of taking their foot off the accelerator. They try to push their car to the outer limits of its mechanical ability and endurance. Their eye is always fixed on the track. They are driving with all their heart, soul, and mind. This is what it means to love God with all our heart and soul and mind. It means to obey Him with all our heart and soul and mind. So how in the world are we going to make progress? How are we going to get from cruise control obedience to race car level obedience? How are we going to develop this type of love for God that permeates every area of our life? Well, we need to be cross-centered people. We need to bring the gospel and put it before us over and over and over again. Jerry Bridges says, love for God will arise in our hearts as we by faith lay hold of the great truths of the gospel. To do this, our faith must be constantly nourished by feeding on the gospel. So have we nourished our faith on the gospel this week? So I just want to end by just giving a brief gospel presentation so we can nourish our faith in the gospel for a few minutes. I'll start in Isaiah 40, verse 15. May seem like a strange place to start, but in Isaiah 40, God is being compared to the nations. In Isaiah 40, 15, says this, "Behold, the nations, as in comparison to God, are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales." Borrowing this from Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says, you see what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 40, 15, all the nations with all their armies and all their tanks and all their great schemes, what are they in comparison to God? What are the nations in comparison to God? He said, you have a scale, you take it out and you want to clean it off in order to get an accurate measurement. You get a brush and you sweep that thing off totally and completely. You set it down and one little speck of dust lands on the scale. That's the nations compared to God. Or you've got a bucket and you clean that bucket completely out of water and there's one little bit of water that drains down to the bottom of the bucket. That is the nations compared to God. And it is this God that Isaiah 40, 15 is talking about, that we have sinned against this God. And I mean, for real, we have all, for real, sinned against this God. And God will be utterly, completely, totally just to condemn all of us to hell for all eternity. That is what we deserve. And this is the dark backdrop that we must remember before we bring the diamond of the gospel in front of the dark backdrop. Well, what's the diamond? The diamond is, for God so loved the world. He so loved the objects of his wrath that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sends his Son into the world and Jesus will be crucified. He who knew no sin is going to become sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We can have peace with God. We have a hope that is certain and sure of everlasting life with God. This is the good news of the gospel that we need to be feeding our faith on regularly. So have we fallen into cruise control obedience this week, and have we fed our faith on the gospel? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently and I will close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, your word says that we should give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. So, Father, we pause and acknowledge that you are good, and we give you thanks and praise for your steadfast love that endures forever. But, Father, as we think about this first and greatest commandment about loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we must confess how far short we fall to obey this command. We must confess that so often we fall into cruise control obedience, Father. So forgive us for our laziness in our pursuit of holiness. Forgive us for our lackadaisical attitude when it comes to pursuing you and loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But Father, we are thankful for the good news of the gospel, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that you cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Father, I just pray that we would nourish our faith on the gospel day after day, hour after hour. We would return to the good news of the gospel regularly, and we'd be quick to talk about it with others. And Father, even as we sing and some continue to pray, I pray that you would use this time to stir our affections for you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.